Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that is to come.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne, and all the nations will be assembled before him. And he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. A stranger and you welcomed me. Naked and you clothed me. Ill and you cared for me. In prison and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say to them in reply, 'Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of the least brothers of mine, you did for me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. A stranger and you gave me no welcome. Naked and you gave me no clothing. Ill and in prison and you did not care for me.' Then they will answer and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or ill or in prison and not minister to your needs?' He will answer them, 'Amen, I say to you, what you did not do for one of these least ones, you did not do for me.' And these will go off to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord. As we anticipate Thanksgiving this Thursday, which I suppose marks the beginning of a quite long holiday season, I think it's possible for some of us to allow the solemnity that we celebrate today, the kingship of our Lord Jesus Christ, to become somewhat overshadowed by other events. We might tend to think of this Sunday as just a Sunday that's come and will soon be gone. But our celebration today of Christ the King was instituted in 1925 by Pope Pius XI as a feast. And like every feast, it's a call to you and me for both contemplation and celebration. The Vicar of Christ, Pope Pius XI in 1925, asked the Church to honor the kingship of Christ. And in the Pope's words, "The feasts of the Church affect both mind and heart and have a salutary effect on the whole of our nature because," he writes, "humanity needs these external festivities so that the sacred rites in all their beauty and variety may stimulate us to drink more deeply of the foundation of God's teaching." And among the offerings of the Church, the feast of Christ the King has a unique medicinal flavor, which, according to Pope Pius XI, offers the Church an excellent remedy for the plague which now infests society, namely the scourge of secularism. So he's writing in 1925. Now, what is secularism? Well, I think that one simple way to understand secularism is that It's an attempt to organize governments, organize society, actually our whole way of life, without reference to God. And if necessary, even in open hostility to the concept of an almighty and loving God, who we are, of course, bound to obey. The visible effects of secularism, writes our Holy Father, is that the empire of Christ over all nations is rejected. The respect that nations once held for the moral authority of Christ's church wanes and becomes a tenuous connection to the political moral body. And this all then results in our Catholic faith being likened to false religions and being placed on the same level as them. The flattening of religious influence by secular powers then relegates the voice of Jesus Christ and his church to the status of just one voice among many voices, all of which ultimately must be subjected to the state. Pope Pius XI and his words in 1925 beg Catholics to remember the splendor of the supremacy and power of Jesus Christ, which is far, far greater than any passing mere nation or mere empire. In short, writes our Holy Father, the whole of humanity is subject to the power of Christ. And so the reality that you and I are proclaiming this Sunday is that all humanity is subject to the monarchy of Jesus Christ. And we proclaim just as forcefully that the kingdom of Jesus Christ here on earth has a designated steward. And that designated steward is our Holy Father, Pope Benedict XVI, the Vicar of Christ, our King. Now, who exactly is this King, Jesus Christ, who you and I proclaim? In the Gospels, Jesus makes an ambiguous claim to universal authority. He doesn't say he's just one wise man among many. He doesn't say he's just one philosopher among many or just one prophet among many. Jesus tells us that all nations of the world will come before him to be judged. All the angels in heaven make up his royal court, and he holds in his hands the eternal destiny of every man and woman and child of all time. Jesus is claiming to be the Lord and King of the entire universe, of all history, and of all eternity. That's his claim. And there is no other way to interpret today's gospel passage. And this means that for any honest person faced with deciding what to think about Jesus Christ, there are effectively only two options. Either Jesus is who he claims to be, the King of life and history, as we celebrate in today's Mass, or he is a madman, a lunatic out of touch with reality. There's no other option for an honest reader of the Gospels. And further reflection on the Gospels and on the history of Christ's Catholic Church would lead the honest person to conclude that actually, the lunatic option isn't really viable. No lunatic in history has founded an organization that has not only lasted, but has also grown and developed and remained faithful to its principles for 2,000 years, as has the Catholic Church. And his church also has made an incomparable contribution of wisdom, holiness, and beauty to human history, saints, scholarship, and art, which awes even non-believers. Christ our King alone is the Holy One and the Most High, as we just proclaimed in the Gloria. Our king is not Obama. Our king is not Biden. Our king is not Romney or Kane or Gingrich or any of these folks. Our undying allegiance is totally to Jesus Christ, our King. In the words of the Second Vatican Council, Christ is the Lord and the goal of human history, the focal point of the longings of history and of civilization, the center of the human race, the joy of every heart, and the fulfillment of all its yearnings. Since Jesus Christ is the King and the Lord of history, he's also the Redeemer, the Savior of history. He came to earth and he continues to work here through his church to fix the broken human race, to reunite from within the sin-divided human family, and to bring us all together with him to heaven. And as our second reading put it, and we also will hear it in the prayer, the preface, he basically is bringing us in his kingdom and giving all of us to and his kingdom to God, his Father. Every human person is a potential member of the mystical body of Christ. So when Jesus says that how we treat others is how we treat him, it's not just a nice poetic idea. Jesus has identified himself with every single human being, born and unborn, because he wants to reunite all of us together in his one family. And that's why his church cares so much about issues such as abortion, embryonic stem cell research, euthanasia, poverty, hunger, and so on. Every single person is called to eternal life with Jesus Christ as members of his family. We together have a mission to feed the hungry, to house the homeless, to tend to the sick, to bring the freedom of truth to those, even in our own families and here in our own community, who are actually imprisoned in darkness, in the darkness of secular paganism. Next Sunday, remember, the season of Advent begins. And this year it'll begin with a new translation of the Mass. And in Advent, our particular focus tends to be on the coming Christ child. And most especially, we will be reflecting on his great mercy for all humanity. But this Sunday reminds us that this child in swaddling clothes now sits at the right hand of God the Father. And the cup of Jesus Christ, our King, is one of dominion and obedience. In many ways, this feast is the feast which our nation needs today. In the midst of the growing hostility and persecution of our church, which is coming from the ruling regime in Washington, the words of our Holy Father, Pope Pius XI, back in 1925, still ring true. And here's his words. But if the faithful were generally to understand that it behooves them ever to fight courageously under the banner of Christ their King, then fired with apostolic zeal, they would strive to win over to the Lord those hearts that are bitter and estranged from him, and would valiantly defend his rights. Brothers and sisters, may we always follow our Lord Jesus Christ in right paths so that his kingdom might be our inheritance, so that we might enter into the eternal rest promised to the people of God. And we pray together, O Jesus, our eternal King, reign in our hearts. O Jesus, most merciful King, reign in our hearts. O Jesus, extending to us the golden scepter of your mercy, reign in our hearts.